As a young man in the Neolithic period, I could sing all day. No strain on my voice at all. My, have times have changed. Steve was talking this morning, asking me when we were going to try to bring the quartet back, Wayne. Well, it was a good question, you know. Please. Matthew. No, wrong Matthew. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 starts this way. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he is the Christ. Father, send your Holy Spirit right now and cause these ideas we're going to talk about today to come to life in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. St. Augustine wrote that there were two kinds of churches. There's the visible church, and there is the invisible church. The visible church is the one that we all see on Sunday and other days. And the invisible church is the one that God sees every day. I'll repeat that idea. The visible church is the church that we all see on Sunday. The invisible church is the church that God sees every day. Both the visible and the invisible church may have the Word of God on their mind during the service. But the invisible church has the Word of God on the heart and mind every day. Now, at our Christmas Eve service, which was not too long ago, I stood here on this platform at the end of the service and I made a promise, and it's a promise I'm going to keep this morning. I made a promise that I would never, ever assume that everyone in any group gathered together in the church, I would not assume that everyone in that group is a Christian, is born again, is saved. I realized on that night that it is a terrible, terrible assumption to assume that because someone is sitting in a church building and singing church songs and saying church words is a part of that invisible church, which is the body of Christ. I'm not going to assume this morning that because you are here, you are blood-bought and safely in the sheepfold. Today, we're going to talk about, and this is a pretty simple, straightforward message, we're going to talk about the difference between the visible and the invisible church, so that we have a really good understanding. Some of you remember not too long ago, Pastor Brian, as a matter of fact, in this message, when Pastor Brian talked about the professing and the confessing church, he spent a lot of time talking about the church in Germany and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and how the church was confronted with the sweeping evil that was the Hitler and those who rode with him, sweeping across not only Germany but throughout the world, throughout Europe. There were very, very few churches who stood in defiance of him, who stood in opposition of that evil, who spoke out. He talked about, if you remember, that church that was located along the railroad track where the trains would go by on their way to Auschwitz and other of the concentration camps, the death camps. And how, as they would go by during the church service, they would hear the Jewish people locked up like animals in those cars, screaming, "Help us, help us, help us, somebody help us." And it was so terrible to hear their cries that the decision they made, when they heard the train coming, they would make the organ louder and they would sing louder so that they couldn't hear the cries of those desperate people as they went by. Their answer to the need of those people who were on their way to their deaths was to profess through songs their love for Jesus. They were a professing church. The church that is the confessing church is the church that does what it says, that acts upon the words and the principles. The professing church is the church that says they are the church. They use church words, they sing church songs, but their profession is surface, and it's often driven by humanity more than the Spirit of God. On the other hand, the confessing church is a church which confesses the lordship of Jesus Christ, confesses the authority of the Scriptures, and confesses the great commission which was given to the church by the Lord Jesus, not so much by what they say, not so much by what they sing, not so much by the words they recite, but in the way they live out the faith that they profess. I guess it might be best explained this way. The visible church is made up of both professing and confessing Christians. It's made up. Here is the visible church this morning. This is the visible church. This is what we can see. We have a building. It has electricity and water and plumbing. It has seats. It has musical instruments. It has lights. It has Bibles. It has projectors to put songs on the screen so we can sing them. It is in every way visible. People walking by can see the church. There's the church. I know that church. That's the church that's down on Canal Street. That's the visible church. The visible church contains, I'm choosing my words carefully this morning, but I want you to understand. The visible church contains members of the invisible church, but not all the people present with the visible church have their names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you hear what I said? Not all people who are present in the gathering of the visible church are members of that invisible church. I think this is really important as we move into the days that we're moving into. I believe that we're going to be seeing days. The church is already beginning to see it around the world and even starting in the West now. We're going to see things, face things we've never faced before. And I will tell you what I expect to happen, and I'm going to be very honest with you. I expect the visible church to decrease and in many cases disappear altogether. I remember a few years ago, not too far from here, in a community not too far from here, there was a big headline in the local newspaper, a church that had been present on the square for many, many, many years. It was an institution in the community. They closed up shop. They locked the door. They shut the church down. And in an interview, and like many churches, the reason that they were doing it was they had dwindled in size, they had dwindled in income, and they could no longer afford to maintain this big cathedral they had inherited, and so they just locked the door. And interviewing one of the board members of this church, this is what he said. I still remember it. It sent a chill up and down my spine. He said, "We can no longer maintain the building. Therefore, we can no longer be a church." I will tell you what that was. That was a member of the visible church who has no comprehension of what it means to be a part of the invisible church. You might actually be sitting under the sound of my voice this morning. You're faithful in attendance. You sing the songs. You nod your head when biblical truth is preached. You help out with various committees and ministries. But if we were able to look into the Lamb's Book of Life, whereon the names of those who are in the fold, we would not be able to find your name. And I tell you that when we stand before the Lord on the great and terrible day of the Lord, He's not going to ask you which visible church you attended. He's not going to ask you about your particular theology. He's not going to ask you who your pastor was. He's not going to ask you if you served on committees, if you helped the poor. Did you show up for the food pantry? Did you do this? Did you do that? None of those questions are going to be asked. He's going to be asked, "Let me see if I can find your name in the Lamb's Book of Life." This is what I want to address. And I'd like you to walk out of here this morning. This is my goal. Every time I preach, I've got one goal, really, that I want to reach. And this is my goal this morning. I want you to walk out of here this morning confident that you are a member of that invisible church. And if you are not, if right now this minute you are not, and you're able to discern that before the end of this message, I would pray that you would not walk out of here this morning until you take care of that issue. It's that important. Your eternity is not dependent upon your attendance in this building. Your eternity is dependent upon whether or not you're part of that mystical body. And I will tell you this. It's like the wheat and the tares that the Lord spoke of. Only He knows this morning who you are. I may think I do, but only the Lord and you know. There are people, I tell you this, there are people that you're going to stand beside you as we wait to enter into the marriage supper of the Lamb, and you're going to look at them and go, "Wow, I never thought I'd see you here." And they'll probably say, "Yeah, the feeling's mutual." And there's going to be some people you're going to look around for and look around for and look around and say, "Well, surely they're here somewhere." And they're not. Because they played the game. They kept the rules. They went according to protocol. The only thing they never bothered to do was to make a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus. The Bible never uses the term visible and invisible church, but the idea of the visible church versus the invisible church is a natural result of a biblical understanding of the nature of salvation. The visible church is the expression of Christianity that people can see. It's the gathering. It's the practices. It's the practices of the individuals in the various church buildings on Sunday. This is right here, right now. This is the visible church. However, contained within this right now is an invisible church known only to God. It's the true church, which only God can see. Born again believers, past, present, and future make up this great, what we call the mystical body of Christ, this invisible church. Because not everyone who attends church or performs religious deeds is saved. The visible church includes unbelievers. They show up all the time. They like it. They like the music. They like the fellowship. They like the friendship. They like the sense of belonging. I've said for years, I've seen people who were saved to church. They come into a church and they go, I like it here. This is really cool. They got cool music. And their people are really friendly and they have meetings with food. I like it here. I remember vividly when I went home to North Carolina a few years ago to bury my pastor, my spiritual dad. Guy had impact on my life and more lives than you can count. And I remember after he was gone, how many people were no longer there. And I realized that not only can people get saved to a church, they can get saved to a pastor. They can form an affection with a pastor. They form a connection with a pastor. They like the way he preaches. I got people who like the way I preach. There's some empty seats. Says I got some people who don't like the way I preach. But I can't save you. My pastor could not save all those people who said, oh, I'm not coming back. If he's not here, I'm not coming back. And I said to a couple of people, longtime friends, I went to visit them, and I said, well, you need to really examine yourself and see what you were saved to. Because it may be that you were saved to a preacher. It may be saved that you were saved to a style of music. It may be that you were saved to a sense of belonging to an organization. And my friend, I need to tell you, none of those things will write your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's only one relationship that will do that. And that's your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. The visible church contains unbelievers who gather in a building. The invisible church contains a membership entirely and exclusively made up of those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You cannot buy your way into the mystical body. You cannot work your way into the mystical body. You cannot keep the rules well enough to enter in. You can be the most righteous man or righteous woman that you can ever imagine, but it's self-righteousness. And self-righteousness will not save you. Now, some of you are sitting there saying, boy, he's getting rude this morning. No, I'm desperate this morning. There are too many people that I see, I recognize all over the whole landscape of the church who've been saved to everything except the one thing they need to be saved to, and that is a relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. The visible church, the local church, refers to a single body in a single place. The visible church encompasses local churches all over the world. You are part of a fellowship that spans borders, spans languages, spans races, spans cultures. I remember not too many years ago, I guess it was a lot of years ago now, they kind of fly right now, a man came here to visit with us, and he was from Irianjaya. Now, I don't know if any of you know where Irianjaya is, but get your globe out. Find the Indonesian islands and follow with your finger down from the biggest ones all the way out to the end, and you'll find a little speck of dirt out in the ocean, and that's Irian Jaya. And a man stood here, right here on this floor. He was one generation removed from cannibals. His parents were cannibals. He lived in a little valley. It was called the Dani tribe. They lived in a little valley, and they had lived there for so long that they really thought that was all there was to the world. There wasn't anything outside of that. And one day, this huge yellow bird flew into the valley and landed on the water. I'm telling you as he told it. And then that bird opened its belly, and a creature came out of it. It looked like a man, but it looked like a man who had been cooked but not well done enough. We were terrified of this creature. What is he? And it turns out it was missionaries who came, and they brought the gospel of Christ to that man and to that tribe. And he was the first of his generation, after coming from a generation of murderers and cannibals, to know Jesus and now to travel to America. And the reason he was here is he wanted to thank this church for the work that we had done in contributing to building a church, building a visible church for them where they could worship. And after the service, he came to me and he shook my hand and he said, "Pastor, it is so wonderful to greet you again." And I went, "Okay. Am I missing something?" Because I'd never been to that. I wasn't the creature that got out of the belly of that bird. And I had never been there. And I was pretty sure he had never been here. And I'd never run across him at a conference. But he said, "It's so good to greet you again." He saw the puzzled look on my face. And this Stone Age man had to teach this seminary-trained preacher about the body of Christ. He said, "You know, when I pray and when you pray, we pray from the throne of God. We are seated together with Him in heavenly places. And so though I have never met you physically, we meet at the throne of God as we are seated there in heavenly places." And I felt so stupid. And so blessed. And so when you read about Christians all over the world who are suffering for their faith, who are dying for their faith, who are being persecuted for their faith, who are being jailed for their faith, those are your brothers and sisters, members of the great mystical body of Christ, the invisible church. And I'll tell you some things about that church as we go along. The visible church is easily identified by its religious trappings, its church buildings, its ministers or clergy, or calendars, or ordinances, or ceremonies, or denominations. When somebody says, "I go to such and such a church," he's referring to a visible church with an address, with a post office box on the front, and a telephone in the office. When somebody drives by a lake and sees some people being baptized, they're viewing the visible church. Now, to identify with the visible church is to accept the label of Christian. But without a spiritual transformation initiated by the Spirit of God, the label is just that. It's a label. And it has little more meaning than just that. I label myself as a Christian. I don't know if you've ever bought something at the grocery store. How many of you remember this little, what was it called, the Boston Barn? Was that what it was called down here at the bottom of the hill, Barbara? Where we used to go and buy. And Brian will tell you that his mother is the only person that can go into a place, take a dented, unlabeled can, shake it, and tell you what's in it. She'll say, "That's dog food, don't want that." She could do that thing. But you know, sometimes you get something that's got a label on it, and when you open the package, you go, "Ew, That's not what that label says it is. Or at least it doesn't look like what the label says it is. When we identify with the visible church, we have done little more. Now, it's important, and I don't want to diminish being a part of a local congregation. But if that's all that's happened, you've just stuck a label on. And everybody reads the label and assumes that you are following Christ. And I have made it a commitment. I'm not going to assume that about anyone. Nominal Christianity. You ever hear about nominal Christianity? Well, we think it's normal Christianity. You know, nominal Christianity. It's normal Christianity. And unfortunately, we have a lot of nominal Christians around. But you know what the term really means? In name only. In name only. Demas forsook Paul. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:10, because he loved this world. Demas was a part of the visible church for a while, but he never, ever became a part of the invisible church. And he eventually showed his true colors. John says in 1 John 2:19, he talks about those who have left the fellowship, and it was hard times. When John was writing to the church, it was hard times. They were under terrible persecution. He said, many have gone out from among us. He said, they went out from us, but they were not of us. Listen to that term. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they may be manifested that they were not all of us. Wow. The invisible church, composed of all the redeemed, is spiritual and it's heavenly and it's not of this world. Jesus said this in John 18, verse 36. He said, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. Did you know that you are otherworldly? I know that people accuse you of that a lot, but they don't understand what they're saying because they're right. What they're trying to say is you're weird. You're not like the rest of us. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. You see, that's what confused the Jews. They thought Jesus was going to come and establish a throne in Jerusalem. He was going to go up to the temple and set up a throne and throw the Romans out. They were in shock when he allowed the Romans to crucify him. They didn't understand. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus said this, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Or say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is among you. Now let me just bring that down to our discussion today. Nobody can come into this room and go, there it is, or there it is, or there it is. But it's here. There are people here this morning, perhaps. I may be wrong. Remember, I'm not assuming today. I'm assuming that there are people here who are a part of the visible church, but not necessarily a part of the invisible church. The invisible church consists of those who have been redeemed and who are truly born again. They are regenerate, born again, made new creatures, and they are indwelt by the Spirit of God. John in chapter 14, verse 23 says this, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. I'm going to read it again. if anyone loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. They are the ones who have trusted by faith in the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. They have repented of their sins. They believe in Jesus as God in flesh, who died on the cross and who physically rose from the dead as a payment for our sins. These people are the ones who have been justified by faith. Romans chapter 3, for we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of God. You see, the visible church is consumed with thinking about what we do. What we do. And though we say we believe in grace, and though we say we believe in salvation apart from works, so much of the time the visible in the visible church, we get caught up in all of the things that we do. Believing that because we have done these things, none of the things that we do are bad things. None of the things that we do are useless things. They're very important. But they are completely apart from our salvation experience. Therefore, Romans chapter 5 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. They are born again members of the body of Christ. John chapter 3, Jesus answered and said to him, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. He saved us, not on the basis of the deeds we have done, the writer to Titus says, in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Christianity is not composed merely of religious patterns, attending churches, tithing, taking communion. True Christianity is a manifestation of the regenerate, those who are saved and are indwelt by God. They often gather in church structures and participate in church practices, but they are redeemed by the blood of Christ. The invisible church does not need physical, material things that make up the visible church or make the visible church visible. Take away the liturgy from the visible church, and the invisible church will remain. Religious ceremony makes no difference to the invisible church. But burn the church building down, and the church will remain. Tax the church into oblivion, and the church will remain. Outlaw religion, and the church will remain. You can destroy the visible church, but the invisible church can never be overcome by the power of the enemy. In John chapter 4, verse 20, the Samaritan woman at the well told Jesus, you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. In our terms, the Samaritan woman was speaking of the visible church. Jesus answered, defining the invisible church, when he said, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. A time is coming and now has come when true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father is seeking. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning. Barbara, if you would come back, please. I pray this morning that every set of ears in this place have heard the intent of my heart, that we would not assume, that we would not assume that because we are a part of the visible church, we are also a part of the invisible church. Help us, O God, to walk in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen.